You're listening to the AHDB podcast, practical know-how to help your farm business.
Welcome to this month's Dairy Focus podcast. I'm Sarah Hunter-Argyle, and at one of our recent strategic farm meetings, I took the opportunity to speak with host farmer Willie Bailey, an AHDB genetics expert, on breeding the ideal cow for your system. Willie has been farming in Lanarkshire in South Scotland for over 20 years. His all-year-round herd of 310 pedigree Holsteins are kept indoors and are milked three times a day.
Can you tell me, when you first started farming here at Hillhead, how you started looking at the genetic potential of your herd?
Really, we picked the criteria on the type merit that we felt were important. At the start, a lot of focus was on udder quality, feet and legs, and we wanted cows with a bit of body depth about them for longevity. You know, cows have got to keep their udders attached and be able to walk. And I would probably say 20 years ago that there was a lot of poor quality udder cattle out there. Yeah. And we really wanted to put that stamp across the herd that they had goodwill attached udders.
So then you said about maybe 10 years or so ago, though, you started using the indexes more. So why did you move and start looking at them?
The index I felt was too heavily weighted on production only. But in more recent times, since they re-evaluated and re-looked at the indexes, I think they're a lot more balanced now. Mm-hmm. And I think also a major influence was the introduction of the health and fitness traits when they started bringing those in. And, you know, you can get things like the one in particular that we've selecting heavily for is the fertility index to improve fertility, but also, you know, mastitis resistance and improve cell counts. And, you know, once those things started coming into indexes as well, and it became, I think, more of a balanced, that it was then that we started focusing a lot more on the index figures.
And at Hillhead, it's an all-year-round indoor herd. So how does that affect what you pick, what traits you're picking for?
Well, we're a high input system, so we do focus a bit on yield, but we're also, our main focus at the moment is we're looking at fat and protein percentages, because that's one area that we're actually, our herd's genetics are fairly low in, probably because traditionally we've always been on a liquid milk contract, so that was something you never selected for in the past, because, well, you know, the buyers don't really pay for the extra fat and protein.
Yeah.
But I think as the industry going forward, that is becoming much more relevant. We are still on a liquid milk contract, but I can see in the future that these fat and protein percentages will be more important. So we're only selecting bulls now that are plus on those, and fertility, because I don't think it matters what type of system you've got, that fertility can be the difference between profit and loss.
Yeah.
In any system, these cows need to be able to get back in calf.
Yeah, and now your herd sort of in the top 15% in terms of genetic merit. So do you think that shows the success of the way you've been breeding?
I think when you look at certainly how our genetic merit has improved, and how if you look over the animals, how the lower lactation, the younger animals, how much superior they are to the older animals. It shows that the high index bulls that we've been using over the past few years really are making a big difference in the herd. 4 years ago, we moved on to the genus mating system, and the main reasons for going on to that was with the introduction of genomic bulls. It's far harder to keep track of pedigrees, and there's, you know, the bulls are changing so much that you really, to keep track on the all the breeding that's going on in there became very difficult. We're trying to breed a certain type of cow, and I feel that the type of cow that we're trying to breed is very much how they do in America. Mm. And that's where most of their program was set up. And having seen herds that had used it for a number of years, I felt they were the type of cow we wanted. So we've got it set. We're looking for a medium-sized cow that's basically going to have a good quality udder on her, correct feet and legs, and try and get that uniformity across the herd and give a lot of milk over the years.
AHDB can offer a lot of support to farmers like Willie looking to improve their breeding. I spoke to Head of Animal Genetics, Marco Winter, about how to make the most of the genetic indexes we produce.
So yeah, we at AHDB provide a lot of different genetic indexes really to help farmers to breed the best cow for their system and their needs. And the best way really for farmers to think about it is, first of all, think about the system that they're producing to. So whether they're an all-year-round calving system, a spring or autumn block calving system. And for each of those systems, we have produced genetic indexes that help farmers to pre-select which bulls really suit their system. So PLI, or Profitable Lifetime Index, would be suited to an all-year-round calving system. Then we've got a spring block calving index, the SCI index, and that really is geared towards the farmers who really make use of grass and spring block calving in a very tight system. And then we've got an autumn block calving system for farmers who are really targeting that kind of production system, so the ACI index. Now within that, really what we're saying to farmers is first of all, pre-screen your bulls on those indexes to make sure that the bulls are really hitting the criteria that suit that system. So that's includes production traits, fertility traits, longevity, but also a lot of health traits like lameness and mastitis. And then within those, really look at your own areas of needs. We produce a herd genetic report for farmers or milk recording where they can look at their own strengths and weaknesses. And what we then tell farmers really is to try and look at areas that they want to improve on. So if they have a particular fertility problem, then really look for bulls within the ranking, first of all, of ACI, SCI, or PLI, and really pick the high fertility index bulls to help you improve your fertility. Similarly, for udder health, if you've got an udder health problem, then look for mastitis or somatic cell count to really target those key areas. And for farmers really to understand the tools that are available, it can be very, very simple to make genetic improvements.
And of course, on Willie's farm, he's quite keen on improving his daily lifetime yield.
Correct.
So what are the top traits for farmers looking to do that?
Yeah, so we did an analysis earlier this year where we looked at when we looked at all the daughters that survived in the country, we looked at 800,000 cows and looked at the sires that had bred those cows. And the key traits that really determined productive or daily lifetime yields were, first of all, PLI as an overarching index, which is interesting because if you think about it, our PLI index is an all-encompassing trait. It looks at production traits, but also longevity and health traits as one. And then the other traits that really make up daily lifetime yields are, well, the production traits, obviously they are important still to breed for, but lifespan in particular came out very strongly. Again, probably not surprising because we want to target longevity of the animal. So lifespan as an index is really a critical trait for farmers to look for. Then it was followed fairly closely by fertility index, mastitis, somatic cell counts, our lameness advantage index, which we launched last year, which again predicts animals that go lame. And it really did highlight these key areas that farmers need to be aware of. And sometimes farmers get sidetracked by some of the minutiae, some of the minor traits, and really gets detracted from picking the right bulls for their system. So first of all, really think about the areas you want to improve. And if it is lameness, look at the lameness index. If it is udder health, look at our somatic cell and our mastitis indexes. If it's fertility, look at our fertility index. And don't get hung up on some of the very minor details that sometimes get published in bull catalogs.
As well as the genetic indexes, there are a number of other tools farmers can use to focus their breeding goals and avoid getting sidetracked. Here's Marco's colleague, Fern Pearson, to tell us more.
Our main one is the herd genetic report. That's available online for any herds that are fully milk recording with NMR, CIS, Del Farm or QMMS. What this really is a way for you to look at your herd's genetics on an individual level, but also kind of on a herd global level, comparing against other herds in the UK. So it allows you to do a benchmarking, identifying your strengths and weaknesses in the herd, and also looking at those individual animals to identify the best genetics to breed from, and maybe genetics that should be leaving the herd or getting bred to beef.
Can you tell me a little bit about how this is working with Willie's herd, and how particularly it's working with his young stock?
So you can look at how your herd, your milking herd is the default, is comparing against all other milking herds of the breed, if you're looking at the PLI or for all kind of across breeds for SCI and ACI. So in Willie's case in particular, his milking herd fertility, lifespan, cell count was sitting around about average, 45%, 50%. So around average compared to all other herds, all other milking herds for Holsteins. But when you swapped the young stock, they jumped up to about 25 to 30%. So that was really encouraging to see that the breeding decisions that Willie's been making have, one, been increasing the fertility of the herd on a genetic level, which is what he's been aiming for. By selecting those bulls with the improved fertility, he sort of brought along the other traits with that. So we were seeing improved lifespan and improved cell counts. As well as the other breeding goals that he had was to improve fat and protein percents. Those also improved. And his inbreeding, which is also shown in the benchmarking table, that improved in percentiles too. So it shows that that mating program that he's been using is working well to control the inbreeding in his herd.
And do you think that farmers should be aiming to be at a certain percentage of genetic merit, or are there certain goals they should be trying to achieve, or is it all dependent on what they're trying to do?
It's a bit of a mixed bag, that one. So with your health traits, you want that those PTAs, predicted transmitting ability, to be sitting as high up on that benchmarking table as possible, because the healthier the animal, the easier the management is going to be of that animal through her lifetime. When it comes to production traits, it really depends on your milk contract. So for those that are on liquid contracts, you'll be looking for higher milk kilograms PTA, but also fat and protein. For those on a manufacturing contract, the fat and protein percents would be really more important. Maybe the yield would be lower down the table. But again, Willie is one of those ones who's on a yield contract. He's on a liquid contract, but he's still looking to improve that fat and protein percent. So you can still get that good yield and also improve the quality, just to protect for any market changes that might be coming in the future.
And can you tell us just a bit more about some of our other tools that are available?
Within the herd genetic report, we also have the inbreeding checker. This tool allows you to run all of the cows and the young stock that we have in the herd genetic report against all available bulls that are on the AHDB Dairy website. So no matter what breed you're looking at, we have a list on that website if we genetically evaluate them. This then allows you to quickly identify any bulls that, one, meet your genetic needs and maintain the strengths already in your herd, but also, two, you can then decide whether you want to identify bulls who can easily mate to the herd and not worry too much about the inbreeding that's going to result, because they are safe to mate to a lot of the cows or the young stock, or identify those superior genetic bulls that you desperately want to use but actually can only maybe use on a couple of the animals. That's really down to your management choice, but that tool allows you to do that. The results get output in a big table, so every cow, every female that you've selected is shown with her resulting inbreeding for her progeny of every bull that you could potentially mate to her, and then you can use that table to identify which bulls actually you kept them in because they looked interesting, but actually they're going to not give you any safe inbreeding levels in the next generation, so they can get removed, or identify ones that you can use across the herd quite easily. And then that results table you can print off, pop above the tank, so you can make sure when you're going to mate any of those females, you can just double check that the straw that you're pulling out is the bull that you're wanting to use with her. For those herds that aren't fully milk recording, or maybe their data's not quite coming through for the genetic evaluations, we do have a genetic merit calculator, which you can use to calculate your genetic merit KPI, or key performance indicator, for any of the strategic dairy farm meetings that you'll be attending. So that's also available on the website. All you need to know is which sires you've used in the herd. So you can search for these based on their name or their herd book number, and then how many daughters they've got milking in the herd, and that tool will do all the work for you and output a percentage that you sit in.
As part of the Strategic Dairy Farm programme, Willie has had his young stock's genomics tested to get a more accurate understanding of their genetic traits. First, we'll hear from zooeticist Colin Penny, who told me how the analysis works, before Marco explains how the genomic data helps us to create a much better picture of the animal's breeding potential.
Yeah, what we decided to do to help the Strategic Farm Project was test about 80 of Willie's heifers. So we picked the youngest age cohort that were between about 2 weeks of age and up to about a year of age. And we tested them in January, and we've now got the genomic results back for Willie to have a look at.
And so now that you have that information, what does the information look like, and what can farmers do with it if they did something similar?
Okay, so what it is really... it increases the reliability of the parent average PTAs. So most farmers have got access to looking at parent average PTAs via their herd genetic report. But if you look at the reliability figures of parent average, they usually sit between 20-30% accuracy. So by genomic testing, you can increase the reliability of those figures by up to 60-70%. So really what it's doing is giving the farmer more reliable information to make breeding decisions for the heifers.
And is there anything in those results that stood out for you? Or?
Yeah, I think when Willie and I looked at the results, what's surprising is still the spread of PTAs. If you look at things like milk or PLI, there's still a remarkably big spread between the top and the bottom heifers. And some of the ones that he had predicted may have been the best ones turned out maybe not to be the best. So yeah, I think it can throw up a few surprises in the figures that it generates.
And that will then allow him potentially to make different decisions and which heifers he takes forward. And
yeah, what it can do is really allow farmers to make more strategic breeding decisions on which heifers they might choose, for example, to use sex semen in. Because if you put sex semen, say, across the whole heifer group, you might actually be using it in heifers that are actually have a poorer PLI than some of your young cows. Mm. So it might allow you to say, right, this 80% best heifers, we're going to use sex semen, and the 20% that are not so good, we might just use conventional or even beef.
Is genomics a better way to go nowadays?
Well, essentially, genomics is just another tool that enhances our evaluation system. And so if you think about it, an animal is first of all born, and we can look at the parents, and we've got a pedigree index. And so we call that our pedigree genetic index, if you like, because that's the traditional way of looking at it. What we do with genomics is just take a DNA sample of that calf, look at the DNA of that calf, and then say, oh, based on the genes that we can see, which animal is likely to be better in production of fertility, etc. But we don't throw away the parent average information that we've already got. So we just merge that in as a new source of information.
Okay.
So it builds on, I guess, the traditional stuff. It's no different. The traits are expressed in exactly the same way, but the reliability or the accuracy of our estimate is much higher because of that genomic element. Ultimately, obviously, the animal starts to milk, and we also merge that in then as another source of information alongside genomics and pedigree. And for bulls, we get daughter performances that, again, will enhance it. So it's not one or the other. I guess genomics just enhances our evaluation system and improves the reliability.
Yeah, so you're just building a much better picture of what's really happening.
Yeah.
And so in terms of what might be coming up in terms of traits or anything to look out for?
There's some exciting areas we're now working on. So obviously we've talked about production traits, fitness traits that are really critical. The next key area that we're looking at is feed efficiency. And so we're doing a lot of work at the moment to see, well, can we predict animals that are more efficient in the terms of what they eat and how they convert it into the traits we're interested in. And we're hoping that by the end of 2019, we'll have some new genetic indexes that can help farmers improve feed efficiency.
Brilliant. Great.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much, Marco.
Visit hdb.org.uk for all the latest news, research and information. And follow us on Twitter at @thehdb to stay up to date.
That's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you'd like to find out more about AHDB breeding tools and our strategic farm programme, you can find links in today's show notes.
In next week's podcast, our focus will be business planning, and we'll be joined by our skills manager, Tess Howe, alongside Barclays' Oliver McIntyre, who will talk through how to put together a business plan and what your bank manager wants to see. After that, we're joined by one of our strategic insight team, Amandeep, to talk through a new tool AHDB has launched to help farmers and growers try to smooth out the peaks and troughs of market volatility to help them plan for the future.